My family and I were in Lynchburg, Virginia yesterday because my son graduated from Liberty yesterday, which is an awesome thing. And he went to this school, very small school relatively, but the quality of the school being awesome. And they had 19,000 graduates yesterday in their university, largest Christian university in the world. And I was just listening for the Holy Spirit to speak and minister, and he did all day long. The night before, there was a Vietnam War veteran who lost his two legs in Vietnam and became an evangelist, and he ministered to us and told us about the importance of pulpits in the United States, the importance of Christ and the message. And he said, I did not go to Vietnam and lose two legs for my country so I could come back and be politically correct. No. God is working in our country, and there is a great need for Christ to be lifted up and men to follow and women to follow in a vision. It was an awesome, refreshing time. And then I was thinking about vision, and I read a little article here about Walt Disney and Art Linkletter. Do any of you remember who those people were? Okay. Arthur and Walter were good friends, but it's Arthur who really missed out on a wonderful opportunity, a once-in-a-lifetime kind of opportunity. One day, Walter took his good friend Arthur for a ride out into the country. They drove off the main highway and down a small graveled road through groves of fruit trees to a large, uninhabited expanse of land. A few horses were grazing here and there, as well as a few head of cattle. They could see the falling down remains of a couple old shacks. A tumbleweed blew across the road and dust swirled up behind the tires of the car. Walter stopped the car, got out, followed by Arthur, began to describe with great enthusiasm and vividness the wonderful things he was going to build. He went on great lengths and extreme detail, painting word pictures. He was excited. He was enthused. He then turned to his good friend Arthur, invited him to buy some land around the area. But Arthur was thinking to himself, this guy is nuts. Who in the world is going to drive 25 miles for this crazy project? The logistics of the venture are staggering. Walter went on explaining to his friend Arthur, I can handle the main project myself, but it will take all my money. In just a couple of years, the land around this area we're standing on will be jammed with hotels and restaurants, convention halls to accommodate the people who will come to spend their entire vacation at my park. He continued, I want you to have the first chance at this surrounding acreage because in the next 5 years it will increase in value several hundred times. What could I say? I knew he was wrong. Arthur tells the story later. I knew he had this dream. Get the best of his common sense. I knew that this dream had gotten the best of his common sense. So I mumbled something about tight money situations and promised I would look into the whole thing a little bit later. Later on, we'll be too late, Walt Disney said. Arthur, as he walked back to the, you better move on it right now. And so Art Linkletter turned down the opportunity to buy up all the land that surrounded what became Disneyland. His friend Walt Disney tried to convince him, but Art thought him crazy. Yeah. I feel like this happened to me, except I believed what was being told me years ago. Because in an amazing way, this Bible opened up to my heart. And it did you too. I don't really care about millions of dollars as much as I care about the deeper things that we talk about here every day. These young men and women, young ones standing up here on the stage, who, isn't it funny that somebody would be confused about what restroom to use when we are busy going into the world with the gospel. There is a demonic wisdom in this world that is very confusing to people. And people get stuck in just a regular life without any vision. No vision. No vision. Many times back in the 70s, if you remember the time period, there was Jerry Falwell, the moral majority, remember? Ronald Reagan came into the presidency. Jerry Falwell was targeted by the press, and he was lampooned and the whole thing and all of that. And I enjoy Franklin Graham's conviction today. As he said, as a government, or however it goes, the story goes, the statute to homosexuality in New York City, you followed that story, and Franklin Graham said, we don't make statues to sin. Amen. Now, we are not people that are hateful. We are people that are loving. But I think there is a misplaced sense of modesty in this soul of ours. We are to be modest in one sense, but we are to be very convicted and persuaded in another sense. Modest and humble before God and with each other. But when it comes to our convictions, what God says to us in the Bible, please tell me many of them. Please direct my heart and my mind in the important things. Because we are not talking about Disneyland and millions of dollars. We're talking about something else that we see. Not an amusement park, but people in China, Russia, Zambia, India, and all parts of the world. And I wanted to, maybe Pastor Jomi, could I just ask you to clarify a little bit of what I said this morning? What I said wasn't wrong, but I could ask you a question. Do we have the microphone? Brian is kind of the microphone man tonight. I shared this morning in the, was it the 11 o'clock? Yeah, that Pastor Carl and Jomi were at engineering school together, and Pastor Carl was studying that science, and Pastor Jomi also, and Pastor Carl would get cassette tapes from Dr. Stevens from the ministry and listen to them while they took their break at school. And Pastor Jomi said to Pastor Carl, what are you listening to? And he said, I'm listening to messages from the Word of God, and I really love them. And his family was concerned about him, and so they knew they had connection with Mother Teresa and asked her to talk to Pastor Carl. And that's where I wanted you to say something.
Yeah, so the story is that, Pastor Carl's parents are concerned that he was being drawn to a Bible-based ministry and leaving the Catholic Church. And prior to that, Pastor Carl, while doing engineering college, he kind of was already discerning that God is leading him to something more. And he had been to the seminary, in the Catholic seminary for 6 months, and then discovered that it wasn't as deep as he wanted it to be. And he found it dry, so he kind of withdrew from it, and he was still searching. And that's when a team led from Greater Grace, Pastor Glenn Cannon, and the team had actually was in Bombay, and then God just made the divine connections. And then, you know, here he was a believer, and he and his wife to be became believers, and they were following. And so when I met him, they were all the time in the evenings, they used to be always listening to these tapes, and I'm wondering, what are they listening to? So that's what piqued my curiosity. Anyway, so the point is with Mother Teresa, what happened is his parents, yeah, tried to dissuade him and said, why do you want to leave it? I mean, just, you know, why are you getting too fervent? So I think what the exchange that happened was Pastor Kyle was kind of sharing as to why he was becoming a believer in Christ and why he was fervently following after a Bible-based ministry. And he challenged him lovingly to Mother Teresa, are you sure you are born again too? And, you know, she assured him that she was a believer in Christ and she was following in the way she understood the doctrines. And so they, I guess, went back and forth a little bit. And then at the end of it, she said, you know, you are a very passionate believer in Christ. I would like you to work with me. Why don't you join my ministry? And then, you know, I think the end of it, they both said, let's both serve God in our own ways, and we'll see in heaven how it all works out.
I have to, when I hear things like this, I have to ask the question in my heart, where do these people come from? How does it work? That somebody says in their heart, I want to follow Christ and I trust him in every area of my life. And that is why with these graduations, we are celebrating a vision that came from a man. And Dr. Stevens, years ago, way up in Maine in a rural area, so by faith, just started to love this book. And when this book is in our heart, it says in 2 Chronicles 26:5, regarding this king, Uzziah, and he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. What an amazing thing to say. As long as I seek God, and Zechariah is the one that is seeing something. And as long as I am seeking God, God is making me prosper. There's something about it. When we seek him, I may not see him so clearly, but I have a sense this is what it is that he wants me to do. And as I do it, I find that he is with me in the vision. Many times, as we know the stories with the ministry in Lenox and earlier up in Maine, I remember Pastor Stevens went down to Framingham. He's up, way up in Maine, up near Bath. God put it on his heart to go down to Framingham, Massachusetts, and do a Bible study in a home. And then people started to come and hear the man of God. Isn't that a great phrase? They started to come to hear the man of God in somebody's home, in a little home Bible study. I think it was at the Campbells. Then others came. Then they got the high school. One time he was so anointed when he drove back up into Maine through the night by himself at that particular time. He pulled the car to the side. He was very anointed and he wrote a song. Do you remember that song? What was the name of that, Pastor Steve? Remember? Wasn't it about love? Forgiven and Forgotten. I think that was a song. Forgiven and Forgotten. He pulled to the side of the road early morning hours and he wrote the song. And he didn't know exactly where all of this would be going. But at the same time, just like with us, we start and we keep on, and as we do it, we find God is with us, and we prosper. He didn't tell us to count the money first. He told us to do God's will first. God will provide. He didn't tell us to worry about what people think. He taught us to worry about what God is saying, what God is doing, what is the important thing. Thank you, Franklin Graham, for having some spit and vinegar, some salt and light, some spiritual life, and not be afraid of our society or leaders or reputation. That's what it is. It's a vision. It's a heart vision. There were a couple of them I thought of this afternoon. One of them is in 1 Kings 22, when the prophet Micah saw something. He is before Ahab, remember, and Jehoshaphat. He is there before King Ahab, and the Jehoshaphat is there. And they say to Micah, what is going to happen? And then he says something, and then they say, tell us, what is God saying? And then he sees it. Oh, I see it. A lying spirit is in the mouth of the prophets. Huh. Ahab said, see, I told you, he doesn't tell me what I want to hear. Well, that is exactly what is important. You know, when Walt Disney had a vision for Disneyland, wherever it came from, however that happened, that is on one plane. But I want to hear about something that is on another. I want to hear about something that is most important. Education. Young men getting a vision. We're going to do a sketchboard tonight at the Wrap and tomorrow night. And we have the teams that are going to go on Summer Harvest to Europe. And Scotty Dubay has built these sketchboards specially designed to be set up in European cities and put out on the paper and do the paints and the messages on street preaching. Take some courage to set up one of those contraptions in public, put some paint on the paper, and start to tell a story and start preaching. But it is amazing when somebody walking in your area, we've done it for years, I've seen it happen on one day in Blaha Louisiter, Budapest Center, in the subway down below, in a big open area, people walking by, and then they just stop, look, and they stand for 10 minutes, not moving. Other days, I see them walk right through. Look over, don't even care, nothing. Then you look, there's 20 people frozen. And I can tell the words, I can tell. They are like arrows, they are powerful. I can tell people they are listening. Why does it happen? Because the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is on the earth, doing works in the hearts of men and saving men and women and moving in the lives of people and saying, this is what I need. They are saying, I have done all kinds of things in my life, but this I have never found. Zacchaeus is in the tree and says to Jesus, in effect, you have changed my life. I'm going to get right. I'm going to return money. I'm going to change my ways. I'm going to believe in you. Wow. A man up in Maine, somehow he got a hold of it. He saw it. He believed it. And then he said in his little church, we're going to do it. Some people sit around talking about it, but we're going to do it. We're going to get in our cars and go to Framingham. Framingham, that's another country. Framingham, those people are down in Massachusetts, south of the Mason-Dixon line. Massachusetts, isn't that near Boston? We're going to go. That's what we learned. And we moved to Lenox and we bought it for $900,000, the whole campus. It was 84 acres, 24 buildings. We bought the whole campus by faith. We raised the flag, a vision into all the world. We did it by faith. Then we said we got to get the young people, like these young kids sleeping down here in the front row. And we got to get them on buses, and we're going to start with buses and go out and get them in the highways and byways. And how many buses did we have? 49, 42, I heard 52 one time. Probably 52, and 14 of them were broken. We went to Hudson, New York, Albany, New York, Watervliet, New York. We went to Torrington, Connecticut. Kids came in the morning. They rode all the time, an hour and a half on the bus to get to Sunday school for an hour, give them a donut, throw them some hot chocolate, get them back on the bus and drive them back home. It was the greatest day in their life. With a monster coming up out of the swamp, Brian Kostick in his wetsuit, was dressed like a monster. The kids will never forget it, and nor will we. We did things that were amazing, and it went into the world. In Finland, you know what they did? They took a man in a suit with a parachute. How did it go? They had him go up. Their kids thought that he actually went up. Then they had a dummy, and it fly, and then he disappeared, and the Sunday school kids had to go find him in the woods. They dug out his outline like he fell in the mud, and the kids were so impressed by it. Sorry, I can't tell it all very articulately because I don't really know all the details of it, but I heard about it, and the man fell from the heavens. And his imprint was in the mud. And the kids are like looking at each other like, what kind of Sunday school are we in? That kind of insanity went around the world. And it was born in Lenox. Born in the liberty and the freedom and the joy of faith and creativity and outreach and caring for people. Because that's what we learned. But we've been more sensible, too. 500 booklets like Bruce May and Sue published all through these years, more than 500 booklets that have gone out in the world, counseling centers, emergency hotlines. We've had so many of those calls, hundreds of calls when we were in Hungary. We would work on things, Sunday schools, English schools, outreaches, Bible colleges, ordinations, medical clinics. We brought wheelchairs into the Caribbean with La Gracia, the ship, and food supplies. There are things that we have done through the years that we just did by faith because we believe that God is with us. And if we seek Him, we will prosper. If we find Him, if we seek Him, we will find Him. He is with us, and He's not done with us. One other vision, and I'll close with this, is in Luke chapter 1, if you'd turn there with me. Verse 13. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, your prayer is heard. Your wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son. You shall call his name John. I do not know what kind of vision Pastor had, how it happened. He's told it to us in the past about the anointing that often was a theme in his ministry. And he told us the ministry will wear you out unless you are anointed. He told us that we need to get an anointing in our life, not just by studying the Bible, but on our knees and in prayer. He told us not just to learn like in a library, but to go out and actually do it and obey God. He told us that we need to be like lay preachers and laymen that can do the work of the ministry, that we, all of us with our families and our factory jobs and hospital jobs and any place in my or older age or as young people, whoever we are able because God has called us to himself and can show us. He said at Worsley Pond, he was so disappointed because he was with the Baptists and he went to some meetings and he just heard the fighting, the judging, attitude, slander, talking, backbiting, and he was tired of it. He didn't like it. He didn't want it. And he basically was saying to the Lord, Lord, I give my life to you and I trust you in my life, but this other stuff, I don't like it. I can't handle it. I don't want it. I'm not interested in it. And the Lord spoke to him. And he said, you start a Bible college. You teach people how to live and how to obey the Bible. Now I'm going to add in there because this is just generally what I'm talking to you heart to heart, how I understand it. He taught us about our tongue. He taught us about not being judgmental. He taught us about not being legalistic. He taught us about not putting God in a box. He taught us about deeper life and finished work and body life. And he taught us about how we should look at things. And in his limited way, just like all of us are limited, but he's saying it and he's not stopping and saying it. That's like us. Once we feel that God is with us in what we're doing, we're not going to stop. Just like with Jerry Falwell when he started his school, the first graduating class, I think it was 1974, there was 42 students. Yesterday, 19,000. Was that vision of God? And the people that came together, come together, and is it of God? And our portion in the body of Christ around the world with more than, 628 churches, imagine. Where did they come from? The hard work and determination of following a vision and not our flesh. Of paying attention to the real things that count. Now, which bathroom I go into, how ridiculous that we would pay attention to even the question about that and to allow our children to be living in some perverted, evil, and wicked perception of themselves derived from their own fallen imaginations. That is the flesh of man in the age we live in. But it is fun when you can see it. And you say, no, let the blind lead the blind, but let us go into it, do this, what we are called to do. Let's do sketchboards in the major cities of Europe this summer. Dublin, Belfast, Heidelberg, Berlin, Geneva, Budapest, Belgrade. Let's do the sketchboard in Poland, in Warsaw, Helsinki, Stockholm, and Copenhagen. Guys, you know why? God is in it. We follow him, we will prosper. He will bring us in ways, he'll lead us in ways that are amazing. He will put his hand upon us in the night. Give us a song in the night. He'll put a prayer in our heart. We'll care for our kids and our grandkids and our friends and our pastors and care about them. And all the Greater Grace pastors listening tonight and those that will, come. Here, at the end of June, come together where we must come together and break bread. And then when they broke bread together, they saw Christ and then he disappeared and vanished. But that's how the ministry works. You cannot back off in your flesh. You cannot back off in unbelief. You cannot back off in your own way. You cannot back off in what you want. If we seek our ways, we will find ourselves disappointed. But he prospered all the time that he sought the Lord. And he spent time with Zacharias who had the vision. And he prospered. Right? All right, listen. You know, the producer, movie producer Mel Gibson, he produced Braveheart, that movie, and then he made The Passion of Christ, that movie. It made more than $600 million, more than any religious movie in the history of the movie industry. And he came and spoke yesterday just to say a few words. They had invited him to come because he also needs the encouragement to be around other Christian people, because Hollywood hates that kind of thing. Hollywood hates anything that magnifies Christ. Hollywood hates anybody that's going to make an impact. Anybody that follows God and God's will. Anybody that stands against the current and spirit of the time. And this is what they said. He said he has it in his heart to make another movie called The Resurrection of Christ. Isn't that good? Wouldn't that be amazing? The Passion and his suffering. Now the resurrection. Come on. If that's from God, that's a beautiful thing. It's all up to God. Of course, it's not. The point is vision. What do I see? What does God want me to do? Where am I going? What is it that I can do? I have some smaller portion, but your portion is important. Right? Okay. Let's look at 14, verse 14. You shall have joy and gladness. You call his name John. You'll have a son. You have joy and gladness. Many shall rejoice at his birth. He'll be great in the sight of the Lord. John the Baptist shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He shall be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. Did it happen? Did this guy have a son? Angel said, you're going to have. Did it happen? It happened. It happened. This is what we're interested in. Well, it happened. This is what's happening. GGCA is another graduating class. MBCNS has another graduating class. Graduates from other schools in Europe. And they come, they send here like Andre, who played Jesus' role in the play. And Oleg and Oliver and Alex and all the Cardalia and all these, Sarah and all these precious people that have come from other countries. And it is in my heart that as many as God would send and come here and get their training and get to see something that is beyond life as many know it, but they would say this is the vision. This is important. Souls are lost. This is important. I want to learn. I want the Lord to put it in my heart. I want to start and live based on what I see. And when Zacharias got this vision and the angel told him, and then when John was born, they asked what his name would be. Remember, he went dumb through the whole pregnancy. All the pregnancy time, 9 months, he couldn't talk. Lord is saying, hello, are you hearing me, Zacharias? I am doing this. And because of maybe of some measure of unbelief in his heart, the Lord was making it clear to him that I have said something and you pay attention to what I have said. I've given you a vision and it will be as I said. When they asked him what is his name and he wrote out the name John, then his mouth was opened. And this is a beautiful thing about seeing something from God. Let's not depart from it. Let's just embrace it. See it. Live in it. Walk by faith in it. You might say, but how about me? I don't know how to explain it. Pastor Carl was in engineering school and he got it and he's hearing it and it's making a big effect on him. And he's saying, I want to know the Bible. I am Catholic, but I want more. I want to know the Bible. I went to the Catholic school, but it wasn't enough. I want to know the Bible. These people seem to know the Bible. When we went to Finland, Finland is basically a Christian country, but there, where is the Bible? They go to the Bible Speaks to learn the Bible. And one guy came to our meeting, and he's looking for the American. And I was there, and I was speaking, and they go, where is the American pastor? When is this young guy going to stop talking? Where is the bald, fat guy that's the American pastor that is going to be giving the speech tonight? He was amazed that he wasn't there, but it was me. 23, 24 years old, whatever the age, it doesn't stop us. If we got the Bible, we got a message. You might say, you know, I can't do it. Yes, you can. You might say, not me. We say, yes, you. You are the one, God's hand, God's Spirit moving, God moving us in what we're called to do. Let's go do it. And as we learn, we don't have to do it perfectly. We just do it with a perfect heart before God in our stumbling and stammering and tripping up and falling. We find underneath are His everlasting arms, the fulfillment of a vision that started long ago and has been in the hearts of men of God through church ages, and everybody in their portion. But I am so happy, I am not ashamed to believe and to know that this gospel is the power of God unto salvation. That it changes the life and direction of a young man or woman. That it saves a soul from death and a multitude of sins. In James 5, verse 20, it's the answer for the human race, the great need that there is that is in this world and the fundamental purpose that we have in this life. Let's write books, make movies, make videos, Skype, love each other, pray often, give, put turkeys out in the street on Thanksgiving Day, dress up like Santa Claus on Christmas and give the message. Do by all means, get buses and vans, and by all means and by all ways, fill God's house. Get on the internet and do it all by all means and by all ways and make disciples by God's grace, because that's what God is doing. Walt Disney said to Art Linkletter, can't you see it? Can't you see it? Not out here in a cow pasture 25 miles from nowhere. Oh, can't you see it? Buy the land. Buy it now. Buy the land. Buy it now. This place will be called Disneyland. Guy's got a screw loose up here. Guy is nuts. Well, let it be as it is. I want to just say, and I think it is obvious, God has said something. We are very rich as a result. We are part of something incredibly amazing. And every graduation is we stop and pause and say, glory to God for your great work in the hearts of people. Amazing. Amen. Would you pray with me? Lord, they went to Wilmington yesterday, as you know. New people came off the street and joined Pastor Jason and the team. It's little by little. Being persuaded we should be in Virginia, in Laurel, being persuaded in Silver Spring, Westminster, Havre de Grace, being persuaded York and Philadelphia and Texas, Houston, and around the world. Send laborers, prepare us for our work. Make us able. Keep us on the road, the path, to find and know. And as long as we seek you, we will prosper. God will make it happen. In a year or two or three, things are happening. In a short time or a long time, God is with us in what we're doing. We're all part of it, every one of us. Thank you, Lord. Bless our labor, bless our country. Raise up men and women and do your work, God. Our ear is close to the ground, listening. We are listening close to heaven. Our ear is there listening for that faint tapping, that sound, that message from above, that clear sound from heaven, from the Word, Lord, to our hearts. Jesus, if you're here and you don't have Christ, you must have Him, please, you must. It's a desperate hour. It's an urgent need. You must be born again. You must accept Him, believe in Him. You must. He loves you. Say to Jesus Christ, I believe, I need you. Save me. Raise your hand here in the auditorium, anyone at all. Say to Jesus, yes, Jesus, I need you. Save me, anyone. Tonight, I need Christ. Say it, please, in your heart. I need Jesus in my heart. Anyone? Anyone? Thank you. God bless you. Amen. There's a lady right there. Jesus in my heart. That's what I need. All right. Thank you. Amen.